welcome everyone. Is there joy in the house today on this Palm Sunday? Woo! We trust those of you joining us online, there's joy in your house today too. We welcome you this morning. Palm Sunday begins Holy Week, and so this is one of the most, if not the most important week on the church calendar, and I trust that you'll be tuned in to what the Lord is going to do in and through you during this time as we remember the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, I continue in a series called By His Wounds. By His Wounds. And if you have your Bibles, and you should, I encourage you to turn with me this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 26 through 32, a traditional passage of Scripture that we often read at communion time because it's so relevant to that, but we're going to look at it from a little bit different perspective this morning. And I want to encourage you, those of you in the house, and especially those of you who are online, stick with us to the end of this message. At the very end of this message, we're going to hear a video testimony from a man who's connected to this church who is living out some of the things that we're going to talk about today. So hang with us all the way to the end. I'm sure you won't want to miss it. I said it at the beginning of this series, and I believe it's true, that there are three primary reasons why Jesus brings healing to bodies today. Three primary reasons. First of all, to bring glory to God, to demonstrate His power, and to validate the gospel. I believe that those are the primary reasons why Jesus brings healing to bodies today. And while I believe that forgiveness of sin is the primary purpose of the atonement, physical healing occurs as a result of the atoning work of Christ for all Christians. Yes, I said it, and I believe it. Divine healing is for all. For every follower of Christ, divine healing is for you. But here's the caveat. Just like our salvation and sanctification are not fully manifested until we get to heaven, our healing may not be fully manifested until heaven. What I mean is this. Jesus heals everyone who is saved. Some, He even heals here on earth. Let me say that again. Jesus heals everyone who are saved. Some, He even brings healing and manifests their healing here on earth. So, we as elders of Tiffany Fellowship Church, we pray the prayer of faith over all who ask for divine healing from Jesus. We pray the prayer of faith. Last week I talked about the importance of faith in the divine healing process. Today I want to discuss how to handle divine healing delay. Divine healing delay. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 through 32 is our scripture text. Stand with me if you would, and let's read this text together. We stand for the reading of the word because we open our hearts to God's word and we give honor to the word of God. We don't stand for every scripture we read, but for the main one, to give honor to the word of God, which is our highest rule of faith and conduct. If you believe that, say amen with me. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 26 through 32. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. And that is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. This is God's word. Can you say amen to it? I'll take a moment and just unpack that briefly in a minute, but let's pray first. Thank you, Lord, for your word, lamp for our feet, light for our path. Help us to understand this morning what we should do in those times of delay, when our healing is delayed. And God, grant us the patience and the peace and the understanding to trust you even in the hard times. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The title of today's message, Between the Prayer and the Proof. Between the prayer and the proof. Today I want to try to answer the question, why are some people healed right away and some are not? Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever wondered why God brings healing to some right away, immediately, and some he doesn't? Now, there are some pretty famous televangelist on TV that will tell you God brings healing to everyone. He wants to heal everybody immediately. And the problem, if you're not healed immediately, is your faith. That's just not true. That's not true. Why does, however, God heal some immediately and others have to wait for heaven? That's a tough question. And I know some of you have asked it and are asking it because you've asked me. Why does God heal some and not others? We'll try to tackle that this morning in some way, shape, or form. Now, as with the other messages I preached in this series, I will use many scripture verses throughout the Bible for today's message. But I present this text from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 through 32. I present this text today because it contains two answers to the question of what to do between the prayer for divine healing and the proof or manifestation of divine healing. It really contains two of the answers. You see, and hear me, often we bring sickness on ourselves because, number one, we're not discerning with regards to ourselves. Now, that's a statement straight out of that text. You can go back there and read it. Paul says we need to be more discerning with ourselves. Discerning. In other words, we're in denial. We're in denial. Many of us are in denial. We haven't seen the manifestation of our healing yet because we're not discerning with regards to ourselves and we're living in denial. We think God owes it to us, or we think it should come, or we rely on some sort of false theology. And we get upset when God doesn't perform for us like a circus monkey. Secondly, we're not disciplining ourselves, and therefore we're under God's discipline. And that's what Paul says in this text. We're under, some of us, many of us are under God's discipline because we don't discipline ourselves. So those are just two answers to that question of why some of us see immediate healing and some of us don't. And I don't want there to be any condemnation this morning. I want in this place there to be truth and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Don't anyone leave here condemned this morning, but every one of us should leave here convicted by the Holy Spirit. So how do we discern and discipline ourselves? How do we discern with regard to ourselves and discipline ourselves so that we don't fall under the discipline of the Lord? And that's what we're going to try to learn today. So let's dive right in and examine discerning and disciplining ourselves. Let's examine this. I want to do it in two sections this morning. First of all, I want to discuss why some are not immediately healed. Why some are not immediately healed. Now, the following are not meant to confuse or condemn anyone. As I said before, this issue has caused many Christians to lose their faith in God. And it has caused many Christians to become cessationists. They just don't believe God heals anymore and that the gifts of the Spirit are not for today. Why? Because they've not experienced it in their own life. So let me give you a warning before I get into this. Do not use these following reasons as a stumbling block to healing or a stumbling block to your faith. Be aware and take care. Let me give you six possible reasons why some are not immediately healed, and I'm going to go through them quickly. Number one, They are theologically disillusioned. Some aren't immediately healed because they're theologically disillusioned. What I mean by that is that some people have come to the conclusion because of their experience that healing is not for today. They read in the scripture and they assign theology where one does not exist, and so they become theologically disillusioned and they don't believe that God can or will heal them. They have witnessed the abuses and the absurdities of the Word of Faith movement and have decided not to believe. And let me caution you for a moment. It's very important for us as believers to not follow after the fringe elements of Christianity. There's a lot of wackos on the fringe. Stay in the mainstream, the orthodox, the classic of Christianity. So number one, they are theologically disillusioned. Number two, second reason some are not immediately healed is that they don't understand the grace of healing. They don't understand the grace of healing. They don't feel worthy or to be healed, or they feel deserving of healing. Both are equally wrong. It's not about whether you deserve to be healed or not. It's not about whether you're worthy to be healed or not. No one can earn or deserve healing. We can only position ourselves for healing, pray for healing, and have faith in God and trust Him to heal. That's our job. So let me put it this way. Allow me to make up a word for today if I could. Unworthiness and overworthiness are both sins of presumption. Let's face it, a lot of us really, really try. We try to be worthy of healing. Well, if anyone's worthy of healing, I've been to the altar every single time. I come forward for prayer every single time. I've been to the healing room 10 times. If anyone deserves and is worthy of healing, it's me. That's a sin of presumption. And the feeling of unworthiness. See, listen, it's not about earning the right to be healed. It's about the grace of God. That's what healing is about. So number one, they're theologically disillusioned. Number two, they don't understand the grace of healing. Number three, they have a lack of biblical truth. Now here's where I don't want you to be condemned. We talked a lot about this last week. Biblical faith is very important. Biblical faith is faith in the God of the Bible. And we talked about this all last week. And if you were not here or you did not see that message or hear that message, I encourage you to go online and read it. It's important for you to understand that God, listen, last week we saw that God is pleased by faith, God is looking for faith, and God responds according to faith. So our faith is the thing that we bring to the divine healing table, our faith. We don't earn it, we don't pay for healing with our faith, but that's our responsibility. Hebrews says, he that comes to God must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So let's just touch on that. They have a lack of biblical faith. Again, no condemnation. But that's a possibility for why some are not immediately healed. Number four, they accommodate their sickness. Some are not healed because, can I just be bold enough to say, some people don't really deep down want to be healed. They have accepted their sickness as a way of life. They even enjoy the attention sometimes that their sickness, I'm not saying everyone, but some people do that. They've given up hope and they've given up faith. And I would refer quickly to the story from the Gospels of John, Jesus at the pool of Bethesda. He sees a lame man there. And listen to what he asks the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. This is interesting. I'll put it on the screen. John chapter 5, verse 6. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked them, "Do you want to get well?" Interesting question, right? Do you really want to get well? This afternoon, the healing rooms will be open. Sometimes We got to pray, not quickly. We provide prayer at the end of every service, but we also have the healing rooms open a couple of days a month because sometimes we need to spend a lot of time and intense time and focused time in prayer to God. Do you really, really want to be healed? Perhaps you should visit the healing rooms. Some people are sick because they don't want to get well.
Oh, whoa.
Or like this guy at the Pool of Bethesda, all they have is excuses. Jesus said, do you even want to get healed? And he's like, of course I do, but no one will help me. No one will help me into the water. Number five, the fifth reason why some are not immediately healed is they have not discerned the cause of their illness. Now this goes straight to our text this morning. Our text says, Paul speaking to the church in Corinth, and he says, we've brought sickness on ourselves. We've eaten and drinking in communion service damnation to our soul. We brought sickness on ourselves. We brought it on ourselves. We're sick because of our lack of faith. We're sick because we're not discerning of ourselves. Let me just say something, friends. Hear me out. At-risk behavior often brings sickness. At-risk behavior often brings sickness. Smoking cigarettes, drugs, alcoholism, overeating and gluttony. You know, we wonder sometimes why we're not healed, and yet we brought on and we're responsible sometimes for the sickness that's in our lives. Again, no condemnation, but Paul says we need to discern for ourselves. Diet and lack of exercise. I call these temple desecrators. Temple desecrators. Remember what Jesus said after healing the lame man at the Pool of Bethesda? He heals this guy who really didn't necessarily want to be healed. And let me read John chapter 5, verse 14. Later, Jesus found this same guy at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you.
Whoa. Whoa.
Whoa. Stop sinning. Can I just tell you? This can be my problem. This can be my personal problem. You know, I wonder why sickness, if I could take better care of my temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit, perhaps I'd have less sickness in my body. Can I just say straight up and straight out, sometimes sin causes sickness. We don't want lung cancer, but we don't want to stop smoking either. Sometimes we bring it on ourselves. You still with me? Okay. Number six. These are some reasons why some aren't immediately healed. Number six, they have a poisoned spirit. They have a poisoned spirit. Depression, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, unconfronted. Depression, anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness, they all can hinder healing. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 20 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Good medicine is our attitude, is our spirit. The NLT says that it saps our strength. Depression, a depressed spirit can sap a person's strength. I love what Jesus says in Mark chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. He says, listen, this is interesting. When you stand praying, forgive. Go read it. In other words, when you come forward for prayer for healing, discern. Some of us are not healed because we haven't dealt with the issues in our life, the unforgiveness, the trauma, these issues that keep holding us back and causing us to stumble. We have not dealt with them. We have not discerned them. So these are just some perhaps reasons why some people are not immediately healed. Let's move to the second point of this message. So what do we do between the prayer and the proof? What should we do between the prayer and the proof? Now, while not absolute guarantees, these following will position you for God's immediate healing. They'll better position you for God's immediate healing. So if you've not yet received the proof, you've had the prayer, but you don't have the proof, I would encourage you to do these things. And I want to give you seven things real quick. We'll go through them quickly. Seven things that you can do between the prayer and the proof to encourage a more immediate healing. Again, not absolute guarantees, but will help position you for healing. Number one, keep on asking, seeking, and knocking. Listen, there's a false teaching in the Church of God today that you only have to pray for healing once. Pray once and be done with it. Fact is, we need to keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. We need to fight for our healing. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12, ask, seek, and knock. Be relentless in your pursuit of healing. Some people come up, they get prayer, get anointed with oil, they don't get immediately healed, and they go, well, guess it doesn't work, guess I'm not going to get healed. That's it, they're gone. That's all, it's all over. But I want to refer you quickly to a story. It's found in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. I don't have time to go through it all this morning. Write this reference down and study it on your own. Jesus tells his disciples a parable, and he says, the scripture tells us why he tells the parable. He tells the parable to teach his disciples to keep on praying and never quit praying. He tells the story of an unjust judge. He says this unjust judge wouldn't give this widow justice, and so she just kept coming to him over and over and over and over again. And he said, "And I don't fear man, I don't fear the devil, I don't fear anything, but this woman is bugging me to death. I'm going to give her what she wants just to shut her up." And then Jesus says, If this happens with an unjust judge, think about what will happen with your Father who loves his children and gives good gifts to his children. Our God is a just judge. He's going to give good things to those who ask him. So keep on asking, seeking, knocking. Don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. Between the prayer and the proof, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Number two, understand that ultimately everyone is healed. Understand that ultimately everyone is healed. Now, let me just say this right off the bat. We don't want to hear this. Why? Because we want to be healed right now. We want instant healing. We want healing instantaneously. But understand this, divine healing is temporary at best. Do you know the miracle that kicked off Holy Week, that really was the precursor, the impetus to start the Holy Week, was the raising of Lazarus from the dead. The raising of Lazarus from the dead. You know, Lazarus was supernaturally raised from the dead. But guess what? He eventually died. Well, that's a bummer, right? That's a bummer. No. All healing is temporary at best. So when we focus all of our energy, our passion, our faith on our temporary healing, we are demonstrating that we don't understand the value eternity. We don't care about heaven. We just care about the here and now. We tend to be sometimes worldly minded. But I would encourage you this morning, don't selfishly devalue heaven by demeaning ultimate healing here and now. So keep on asking, seeking, and knocking. And number two, understand that ultimately everyone is healed. The third thing to do between the prayer and the proof is to continue to grow in faith and mature in relationship with God. Now, often I say this, I'll say it again. I think this is one of the most important things I'll say today in this message. Continue to grow in faith and mature in relationship with God. We studied this before. Faith can grow. It's not about the amount of faith that you have. It's about the quality of faith that you have. Grow the right kind of faith. And again, last week's sermon talked a lot about this, but let me just say a few things before I move on. First of all, delay is not denial. Hear me. Delay is not denial. Delay displays development. You say, Pastor Barry, you got a thing for D's. Yes, I do. In this instant, I do, because I want you to remember this. Delay is not denial. Delay displays development. So let me ask you a question. What is delay developing in you? Is it developing patience? Is it developing trust? Is it developing faith? Is it developing perseverance and endurance? Or is it just making you mad? Let me read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 9. Let me just read this for you briefly. It's a powerful message from Scripture. Because of these surpassingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me, Paul is speaking here, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. In other words, Paul says, three times I prayed for healing. Three times. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Here's what Paul is saying in this text. Listen to this. Listen to this. God spoke to Paul and he said, there's a purpose in the delay. Three times I prayed, but God said to me, I'm doing a work in you. I'm doing something deeper in you than what could be done if I healed you immediately. What? Yeah. I'm developing you in the delay. That's what God says to Paul. I'm developing you in the delay. So what happens between the prayer and the proof? Preparation. Preparation happens between the prayer and the proof. God is preparing us for something, and I wish he would hurry up, right? The fourth thing that we should do between the prayer and the proof is to refuse to be offended with God. Refuse to be offended with God, because some fall or fail between the prayer and the proof. Why? Because they get offended with God and stumble in their faith. They think God has forgotten or forsaken them because he hasn't immediately healed them. Let me give you a biblical example. John the Baptist. He's in prison. He's in prison, and he has proclaimed Jesus, the one, you know, whose sandals I'm not worthy to lay. He's going to baptize you with fire, and he's going to, you know, he's going to judge the world, and big things are going to happen, and wow, it's going to be great, and then it doesn't happen like he thought it would, in the timing he thought it would. And so I'll just read the text for yourself. He finds out he gets a little offended with Jesus. And so he sends some of his disciples to Jesus. And after having said a couple of times, are you the one? Or, you know, you're the behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's like, hey, disciples, go ask Jesus. Are you the one or should we look for another? And look what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 4 through 6. Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. And then he adds this little addendum, and I think this is a shot at John the Baptist, his cousin. It's a jab at John the Baptist's cousin. He said, blessed is anyone who doesn't stumble on account of me, John. Don't get offended, because I'm not doing it just like you think it should be done. In the timing that you should think it should be done in. Don't refuse to be offended with God. John was somewhat upset that Jesus was not helping him out. Jesus wasn't doing what he had prophesied he was going to do. Remember Job's wife? It's interesting that the devil caused all of Job's children and all of his goats and everything to die except for the wife. And the wife comes up to Job, and in Job chapter 2, verse 9, she says, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" But Job didn't, and in the end, he was healed and restored. Job didn't blame God for any of it. Do you know why? Listen to me. You know why the devil kept Job's wife alive? God said, "You do whatever you want, just don't touch Job." God gave the devil permission to. Theologically, I believe it's true. God gave the devil permission to take the wife, and the devil's like, "No. This woman could serve my purpose. Why didn't you curse God and die?" Right? The temptation sometimes of all of us. What is happening? Number five, what to do between the prayer and the proof. Keep on asking, seeking and knocking. Understand that ultimately everyone is healed. Continue to grow in faith and mature in relationship with God. Refuse to be offended with God. And number five, resist putting God in a box. Resist putting God in a box. Listen, God can heal you in any number of ways. Don't restrict him or to your preferred method or your preferred timetable. Everyone who tries to put God in a box gets confounded. And let me tell you something. God is never late, but he is rarely, if ever, early. Don't restrict him to your preferred method or timetable. I love what Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." You know what God is saying to us through this prophet? He's saying, "I'm smarter than you." And the sooner you figure that out, the better off you'll be. See, we insult God when we think we know better than him the when and the how of our healing. Can I just tell you something? I believe God uses doctors and he uses medicine to bring healing to our body. He can use whatever he wants. He can use whatever he wants. Resist putting God in a box. Number six. Live a disciplined lifestyle of health and healing. Live a disciplined lifestyle of health and healing. Let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." See, healing is not just a one-time thing. We must live in healing, and that is done by living a lifestyle of health and healing, a lifestyle of health and healing. So, can I just preach to myself for a minute? We need to put away the junk food. We cannot keep expecting God to fix everything that we foolishly undo. We can't keep filling our body with drugs and alcohol and expect to live in divine health. Your body is a temple, so start treating that way. Somebody once told me that my body is not a temple. They told me it was a basilica. I was offended, a little bit offended. A basilica is a big building, by the way, in case you were wondering. I get it. I'm living this one out every day. I'm not living in denial. Live a disciplined lifestyle of health and healing. That's what we should do between the prayer and the proof. And number seven, Give God glory in your sickness for your healing. Now, I saved the toughest for last. Give God glory in your sickness for your healing. Now, notice I didn't say, give God glory for your sickness. Give God glory in your sickness, in the midst of your sickness, despite your sickness. Give God glory. See, Job's story gives glory to God because of what Job did before his healing. Job's story gives glory to God, not because of his healing, but what Job did before his healing. See, his sickness resulted in glory to God. In his sickness, he trusted God and he declared, I know my Redeemer lives and he shall bring healing. He's going to do it, and I'm not going to curse God and die despite my wife's nagging. That's what Job did that gave God glory. Remember when Jesus healed the man born blind? How many of you remember that story? It's found in John chapter 9, verse 2 and 3. Jesus heals this man born blind. This is so powerful, a lesson to us all. Let's read it. His disciples asked him, this is interesting. Jesus' disciples asked Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? What does Jesus say? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. The works of God, the glory of God would be displayed in him. See, God displays his glory in the midst of or in spite of our sicknesses. This man was born blind so that God could be glorified by healing him in his life. Now, let me say something very important. Hear me out. Very important. Some children are born with disabilities. I get that. It may be autism or Down syndrome or a congenital heart defect, etc. There are children born with defects. And I do not fully understand why God in his sovereignty allows some children to be born in this fashion. And I do not believe that God makes mistakes. When God creates life, he doesn't make mistakes. He creates us to display his work in us. I'll tell you a story, and I have his permission to tell this. My friend Matthew Ringo is sitting in the front row, second row this morning. Matthew was born with a profound, actually too hard to say, coronary defect. He also has a permanent pacemaker. He's had several open-heart surgeries to correct the defect. He wasn't supposed to live as long as he has. Two Sundays ago, Matthew stood on this platform, that's a picture of him on the right, as a teenager and rapt to the glory of God. And I would stack my friend Matthew up to any teenager his age. He has more energy, humor, strength, and stamina than most youth. Just try to keep up with him. God continues to display his power in Matthew's life. God did not make a mistake when he made Matthew. God made him with a purpose. He doesn't make mistakes. So if you are the parent of or know a child with disabilities, don't get mad at God and don't blame yourself. I know it's hard on the parents and family, but God will make it right in this lifetime or in heaven. In the meantime, give glory to God. Allow him to display his power and purpose in their life. He doesn't make mistakes. Now, many of you know James Bishop. James is here. He's sitting in the back. James is struggling with a terminal illness. And I want you to watch this testimony, and I want you to listen very closely to the story of what James is doing and how he is living between the prayer and the proof. Let's watch. Good morning. I'm here with James Bishop. And James, you grew up at Tiffany Fellowship Church. You and I have been friends for years. And it was my privilege. It was a difficult time for you and your family. But I walked with you and your family through the death of your father several years ago. And he died of ALS. And it must have been tough for you to be diagnosed with the same disease. Can you tell us a little bit about that? When did it happen?
Yes. My original diagnosis was the 21st of December, 2020. Mm-hmm. Is when I first heard the words, we suspect that you have ALS. Mm-hmm. Knowing that it was right in the family, that both my father and grandfather had it, it was in the back of my head. Mm-hmm. However, hearing the words is a different reality.
Yeah, yeah. So, James, how has this disease progressed through your body?
Well, the original symptoms started in October of 2020. It started in my left hand. And pretty much from October to probably May, October to May of 2021, it should always stay in my left arm. Mm. Didn't see a lot of progression throughout my body. Was losing muscle as a result of atrophy setting in. I no longer had use of my hand. And then couldn't move my left arm. Did it stay there until May? And then it slowly started to progress. We really noticed the difference between August and November. Mm-hmm. Every 3 months I see a neurologist, and that's when we saw the biggest change, that it's now impacting my breathing, speaking, and eating, mm-hmm. which is something I really enjoy to do. but now I'm having to modify those things.
I get it. So shortly after your diagnosis, you came over to Tiffany Fellowship Church and the elders laid hands on you and we prayed for your healing. Can I just ask you, how has your faith in God been affected by your diagnosis of ALS and its progression?
This current condition does not dictate my attorney. Mm. My speaking on, how I interact with individuals, I know there's greater things. Mm. That's how I was raised, mm-hmm. And I'm gonna hold God to those truths, mm. And stand firm on his promises and know, hey, guess what?
Yeah.
You know what? I do have that faith. Yeah. I'm going to have faith over fear. Mm. I'm not gonna fear.
I love it.
Do I have those moments? Absolutely. But I'm comfortable with saying, I don't know the plan. I don't know why. However, God has a plan.
Let me ask you a question, and I have your permission to ask this.
Absolutely.
What if God doesn't heal you? I mean, what are you going to do? How are you going to handle that?
Pastor, I don't believe in if.
Okay.
I don't believe in it.
Okay.
When God heals me.
All right.
Because I'm promised I will be healed.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be healed on earth.
Yeah.
Or is it in heaven?
Okay.
It's not if, it's when.
Yeah.
And that's how I approach it.
That's awesome. So this disease for you is temporary.
That's all it is. Yeah. I'm not defined by ALS.
I love
that's
it.
That's not my history. That's not the legacy I've left behind. I will not leave behind a legacy of ALS. Wow. No, I want to leave behind a legacy of a family that fears and loves God. Wow. I want to leave behind that legacy. This, this again, it's not if, it's when.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't happen on earth,
yeah,
then I meet my creator.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for that.
That is.
I'm excited for that. I'm not rushing for it. I'm not rushing for it. Yeah. I'm not saying me.
Yeah.
However, when I'm healed, on earth or in heaven,
yeah,
I will be healed.
Amen. So James, how has your attitude been affected by having ALS? I mean, do you get down days? What do you do?
I have down moments.
Yeah.
I have down moments that I don't allow to become down days. When you're diagnosed with a terminal illness, you have one of two choices.
Yeah.
Do I want to be a victim, or do I want to be a voice? Our family has chosen to be a voice.
Mm.
When I have a down moment,
mm-hmm.
I recognize it. I will speak to that moment. I will acknowledge that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Here, James, this is what you're going through. This is how you feel. This is temporary.
Mm-hmm.
And I move on.
Mm.
I absolutely have down moments.
Mm.
When I think about certain things,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm.
I absolutely do. However, while I don't control my circumstances, I control my reaction and my attitude.
Wow.
And I really try to focus on that.
That's awesome.
And I've learned to not look ahead to the next appointment,
mm.
Not look ahead to the calendar and wonder how much time. I don't need to look at that. That's already been decided.
Mm.
And I'm comfortable with that. I'm comfortable with that. Knowing those things, I can enjoy the moment and appreciate everything around me.
Mm. So what advice would you give for us who may be dealing with our own set of ordeals and issues? What advice would you give us?
The advice I'd give is ALS takes away all your muscles.
Mm.
ALS takes away all your nerves.
Mm.
ALS doesn't take away my mind.
Mm.
My mind is my greatest muscle.
Mm.
And while physically I may not be getting healed right now, I know God's healing me mentally to fight this battle.
Mm.
Because my mind is that strongest muscle.
Mm.
And I just encourage any individual, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, our mind is our greatest muscle.
Mm.
And I encourage you that, you know, if not only ask for healing of whatever you're going through, ask for healing mentally.
Mm.
Ask for that strength mentally to approach that pain, to approach that diagnosis, that fear, that phobia, whatever it may be. That's what I encourage others to do.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to do every day.
That's good. I love you, Jim.
I love you.
Bless you.
So I want to take this moment and say thank you to the Church at Tiffany Fellowship. For 38 years, I've known Tiffany Fellowship as home. Tiffany Fellowship will always be home. When I walk in those doors, I'll remember family, and I'll remember support, I'll remember love and acceptance. The prayers, the support and encouragement this church gives me does not go unnoticed, And I thank you from the bottom of my heart on behalf of my wife and my children for continuing to trace for our family. And if you've heard me say it once, you'll hear me say it again. I don't believe in goodbyes. I believe in see you laters. So Church of Tiffany Fellowship, I will see you later. Thank you.
I'm going to have the musicians come. We're going to close this service. When I was texting with James this week and told him I was getting ready to show his testimony, he said, I'm going to be there. And I'm going to be the first one to the altar to get prayer for healing. You know, and that testimony was recorded on February 9th, and James is here, and ALS is still active and advancing in his body. And I just love what he said. It's not if, it's when. And that's a faith we need to hold on to. Were you inspired by that testimony this morning? Amen. So listen, for the true child of God, the question is not why God doesn't heal. The real question is, when will God heal? Will it be immediately or will it be in heaven? But it's going to happen. And we can't boss God around, but we just need to pray the prayer of faith and believe God for healing and do what we need to do between the prayer and the proof. Amen? Now let me just say that. Some of us are not even willing to get the prayer. It's amazing to me. Not even willing to get the prayer. James tells us we don't have sometimes because we don't ask. We don't ask God. Now listen, I want to speak to something because I've heard this time and time again. Well, God's going to do what God's going to do. No matter if I pray or not, God is sovereign. He already knows what he's going to do. And that is true. But let me say this to you. Often God predetermines. He's already decided that if you pray, he'll heal you. And if you don't, he won't. If you need healing this morning, we're going to pray the prayer of faith for healing. Stand with me if you would. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask those elders that I've had to come and stand here. I've asked to come and stand here. If we need more elders this morning, we'll get more elders. I think Lazarus' resurrection, which started the whole Holy Week thing, it would be great if we get some healings that start today, the Holy Week, here at Tiffany Fellowship. And so, listen, if you need prayer, today's the day for you to get it. When I close in prayer and dismiss this service, you come and pray. Father God, we know that sometimes our healing is delayed. We don't understand it, but we know it's true. Teach us during these times to discern for ourselves and to discipline ourselves between the prayer and the promise. Lord, help us to discern the cause of our sickness and keep us from a poisoned spirit. Give us the perseverance to keep asking, seeking, and knocking, to hold fast to and value the truth that we all will be in perfect health, if not here, then in heaven. We repent, O God, that we have stopped growing in our faith and in a mature relationship with you. Forgive us for not displaying our development during the delay. Forgive us for blaming you and thinking that you have forgotten and forsaken us. Teach us with the help of the Holy Spirit to trust your timing and to live a disciplined life of health and healing. In all these things, God, whether sick or in perfect health, we want to bring you glory. We bring you glory in our sickness and in our healing. And we pray these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen and amen. If you need prayer, come, we'll pray for your healing this morning. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us in the Tiffany Fellowship Sermon Series. We truly hope that you were moved by the Word of God. It is our desire to see you built up in your faith, adding to the unity and strength of God's kingdom. You're invited to get connected at Tiffany Fellowship Church. If you're hearing the inspirational words of God for the first time, we would like to extend a helping hand in the decisions that are before you. So be encouraged to contact any of our staff members to meet and pray over the life-changing choices God has for you. As we close, our prayer is that the Lord will richly bless you, showing His kindness, compassion, and love to you. As well, if you are so moved, we would like to afford you the opportunity to give generously in support of this ministry and simply point to our available online giving opportunities. Be blessed in this day. Be continually encouraged by God's Word.